This is the DX Audio Service.
Thanks, Chris, and welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for February 1995. Some of our surveys that came back showed a interesting statistic, and that was that either DX Audio Service members love air checks and want to hear more of them, or they don't like them at all and don't want to hear them on the magazine. Well, we decided to solve that problem by offering a special cassette of nothing but air checks, and this will be available to National Radio Club DX Audio Service members only. So we're going to have more details on that, but basically the way it's going to work is we will set a criteria for material which we're looking for, and then members can send in a tape of an air check, and we'll add it to the collection, produce the tape, and send it back to them. Anyone who does not want to send something in can just merely buy the tape, and DX Audio Service members get it for a low price, while anyone who is not a DX Audio Service member has to pay the full retail price of the tape. So we'll have more details on the next edition, the March 1995 edition of the DX Audio Service, about that. Congratulations go out to Anthony Scott Helm, Bill Breeden, and John Lyon for finishing first, second, and third in the annual North America Shortwave DX Championship conducted by ANARC and arranged by Dr. Harold Cones. The 1995 contest will begin on March the 10th, and we'll end March the 12th. For more information on the contest, send a self-addressed stamped envelope plus administration fee for two 32-cent stamps, if you plan to enter, to Dr. Harold Cones, 2 Whites Court, that's W-H-I-T-S Court, Newport News, Virginia, 23606.
This is the DX Change.
On the DX Change, for sale an RCA Audio Center in good condition, $40 or best offer, a Kenwood TR2500 VHF ham radio handy talkie without PL, $60, realistic pocket scanner with VHF and UHF, 450 to 512 megahertz bands for $60, a quartz citizen's watch in good condition, it gives time in a pulsing tone code, at $60, a used Opticon which needs a new battery, $200 or best offer. And for more information, you can give Mr. Mark Marino, M-A-R-I-N-O, at 2111 Marston, M-A-R-S-T-O-N Lane, Flossmoor, F-L-O-S-S-M-O-O-R, Illinois, 60422-1333. A letter or card, or you can give them a call at area code 312-510-3100. And if you leave a message, he will call you back. Guy Kettlemyer, that spelling is K-U-D-L-E-M-Y-E-R, at 5669 D Street, Springfield, Oregon, 97478-5414. Has a set of DX Monitor magazines from the International Radio Club of America from September 5th of 1981 to the end of December 1994. All in good to excellent condition. Yours for the cost of packaging and shipping. You can contact him at area code 503-741-3670. Roger Giannini, the spelling of last name is G-I-A-N-N-I-N-I, at 316 North Park Street, number 13. And I'm not sure if this is the correct city and state, because the zip code doesn't match. Springfield, Ohio, 62702. That doesn't seem correct. The area code is 217-793-8275. Midnights, or give or take an hour, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. call collect. Wants a Raycal RA-17 Model C-12 receiver. It can be in repairable condition, but the cabinet must be in good to mint condition. Yours truly has a lot of urban and rap CDs that I'd like to find a home for. If you're interested in buying them or making a trade, please contact me at Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio 45802, or give the studio call at area code 419-228-4199. As far as trade bait, I'm always looking for Christmas music and novelty recordings of Christmas songs, baseball, Halloween, political, and songs which are instrumental versions of charted AC or oldie songs, or are in another language. And that's our DX Change for this edition of the DX Audio Service.
If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, put it on the DX Change. Send a card or letter with all the information.
Hi, DXers. This is Market Scope for February 1995, and I'm Phil Wayne. Bearing down on this old Electrovoice RE20 microphone, just like Jim Snowbarger wants me to do. Well, friends and neighbors, we're back in a familiar old place for this cold month, getting accustomed to all the kilohertz and megahertz electrostatic emanations in and around the fine metropolis of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And it is a great delight to present to you this month's congenial guest host, Skip Dabblestein.
Moving on to the 1530 spot, we find KKCM in the southwestern suburb of Shakopee. Presently owned by American Sunrise Communications Incorporated, KKCM broadcasts a format of Christian news talk programming.
Bob Davis saying God bless you and good night from Dallas. You're listening to People on KKCM, Christian Talk for the Twin Cities.
Only at 62 degrees, winds out of the south at 18.
This is KKCM, Shakopee, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Our time is 6:59.
Stay tuned and you'll stay informed. We're your Christian news, talk, and Bible teaching station for the Twin Cities. AM 1530, KKCM.
Please welcome that mystical moron from Minnetonka, Jernak the Magnificent.
Guest tonight will be Dennis Nowinski. He's running for Congress in the 4th District. A pro-life Democrat, huh? Kind of like that. He'll be our guest coming up next. This is the Jeremy Borash Live Radio Show on AM 1530 KKCM.
Jeremy Borash, KKCM.
The final stop on our trip up the Twin Cities AM dial is 1570, where we find KYCR in Golden Valley. This station first signed on the air in late 1961 as KUXL, and the following year conducted a widely heard DX test on behalf of the National Radio Club. KUXL was also the station at which Wolfman Jack worked after leaving XERF. Today, KYCR broadcasts a format of contemporary Christian programming and is affiliated with the CBN network.
Your source for the best in today's Christian music at 1570 AM KYCR. First call from the compact disc Sacred Journey. Just ahead, Michael English. Also, a little later on, Michael W. Smith, and a lot more of the best in today's Christian music. Coming up at about 4:20 this afternoon, the 4:20-something giveaway. We'll give away the Stephen Curtis Chapman Live Adventure Concert Video. It runs about an hour and a half long, and also we'll give away a baseball cap from Stephen's record company, from the Sparrow Record Company. Both of those together coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll give those away. Right now, we check the traffic from Pam Reed. Pam.
You're listening to today's Christian music with Jonas Nelson on 1570 KYCR.
Beginning our trip up the Twin Cities FM dial, our first stop is at 88.5, where we find KBEM, owned by the Board of Education of Minneapolis. KBEM uses a jazz music format, and during the morning and afternoon rush hours has perhaps the most extensive traffic information service in the market.
Solitude by Duke Ellington, piano solo from May 14th, 1941, and it was preceded by the other solo he made that day, Dear Old Southland. Duke Ellington at the piano on today's edition of Jazz Originals. This is Volume 2, Number 3, and we're talking about listening to some of the music of Duke Ellington today on the Jazz Originals program. My name is Butch Thompson, and we have the show here every week. We're on every Sunday night at 7:30, Wednesdays at 6:30, and this is KBEM Radio, your traffic information and jazz station in the Twin Cities. The show's called Jazz Originals, and I'm very interested in what you think of the program. I'd like to hear from you. Just write to me here at the station, Butch Thompson, care of KBEM, 1555 James Avenue North, Minneapolis 55411. Let's get back to the music of Duke Ellington and play a piano. Actually, it's a trio tune. He made this with Sonny Greer on drums, and his bass player at this time was Junior Raglan on the bass, Ellington at the piano. This is May 16, 1945, 4 years later, and the tune is a nice original called Jumpin' Room Only.
We next move to the 89.9 spot, where we find station KMOJ, owned by the Center for Communications and Development. It has a highly diversified ethnic and social issue programming format.
That's the Bar Kays with Move Your Boogie Body on FM 89.9 KMOJ. We'll be back with much more music right after these messages and job expose. That's Mickey Howard and Christopher Williams. I hope that we can be together soon. It's 2 minutes after the hour of eight. Kimmy O'Haley here on FM 89.9 KMOJ, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And right now, here is Alicia. No, it's Jocelyn Brown. I hope you're not somebody else's girl. She says she hopes you're not somebody else's guy on FM 89.
At 90.3 megahertz, we find the signal of KFAI, owned by Fresh Air Incorporated. This station also has a highly diversified ethnic and social issues programming format.
Hey, how you doing? Really good. Hey, all right, it's 10:22. This is Culture Shock, and this show appears on Fresh Air Radio. That's KFAI. That's 90.3 FM. It's the community's voice for information, entertainment, and the arts. And we're at 90.3, in case I didn't mention that.
You're tuned to 90.3 FM, KFAI Community Radio. You probably already realize that you're listening to a radio station that's a little different from the others. We're a radio station that airs no commercials. We're run by volunteers, and we're financially supported by our listener members. When you support Fresh Air Radio, we promise to spend your money wisely. For instance, we promise not to buy another radio station. We promise not to buy a roving music bonanza wagon for the state fair. We promise not to raffle off a Buick or hire any zany morning crews. So if you're not already a member, please become one today. An individual membership is only $35. All you have to do is drop your check or money order in an envelope and send it to Fresh Air Radio, 1518 East Lake Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55407. It will be money well spent.
KNOW-FM, owned by Minnesota Public Radio, operates at 91.1 megahertz. It simulcasts the educational and news programming of its affiliate KNOW on 1330 AM. WMCN, owned by McAllister College in St. Paul, operates at 91.7 megahertz with a power of just 10 watts. The typical programming is progressive rock.
This is WMCN 91.7, McAllister College. Oh yeah, and this is Jesse, and the show is It's No Joke. Kate's out letting someone into the station. I don't know, someone was knocking. We just heard Pretty Little Girl by All. Before that, we heard Shocker by the Toasters. We heard Room Without a Window by Op Ivy. Make Me Smile by the Deltones. Runaways by XTC. Gimme Danger by Iggy and the Stooges. The Prince by Madness. And start that off with a dedication of Rude Girl by the Busters.
This is WMCN 91.7 FM, McAllister College Radio.
This is Jesse.
And I'm Kate. And we're still giving away Murphy's Law tickets, so call!
What is this? Does anyone want this? Are you crazy?
Are you all asleep? Wake up!
Call in. The number is 696-6507 if you haven't heard it before. Call in and just ask for them.
Well, it's about bloody time.
As previously reported, KQRS-FM in Golden Valley, operating at 92.5 megahertz and simulcasting classic rock with sister station KQRS-AM 1440, recently climbed into second place in the ratings battle. This is largely attributable to the recent acquisition and format change of hard rock station KRXX-FM. With the new alternative rock format and new call letters, The Edge at 93.7 megahertz maintained its 10th place position in the latest Arbitron survey.
93.7 The Edge presents The Flashback Lunch.
Flashback Lunch.
Every weekday at noon,
Lisa Miller plays a full hour
of requested Edge flashbacks.
Great songs
from the early days of MTV.
The Edge Flashback Lunch.
Today at noon
on 93.7
The Edge. Another retro flashback.
Retro flashback
on 93.7
The Edge.
Weather from the Edge on a Tuesday, 57 is what they're saying for a high today. Kind of windy as well. 26 for the overnight, 58 for tomorrow afternoon. And at last check, we were at 45 and mostly clear skies around the Twin Cities. Kicking off another Modern Rock set, we'll hear from Tori Amos. Also a track lined up from Soup Dragons, Do Something from Pearl Jam, Morrissey on the way. Also a double-edged set lined up from U2. This is Peter Gabriel on 93.7 The Edge.
3.7 The Edge is KEGE, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Music for this generation.
Occupying the 94.5 spot is KSTP-FM. The station is affiliated with, but has programming separate from, KSTP-AM. Its adult contemporary format pulled down a number 5 ranking in the latest ratings book.
95. Best variety, the 70s, 80s, and today. It's Brian Adams. A couple of minutes before 9 o'clock and 63 degrees. We're looking for partly cloudy and 79 for the high.
KS95 FM again congratulating Sandy Fleming, who won the CD player after our free music weekend. It's 8:57 now. We're almost done to our Monday.
I got
to
go get started with my paper route. A lot of the papers claim they're not going to do that anymore. J. Edgar Hoover, John Wayne, Ross Perot, JFK, President Bush, yeah. JFK, everybody.
They
used to call them paper boys, and of course a lot of young women were paper people too, and all that. And the newspapers claim it just isn't the same anymore. We used to get a penny a paper, I remember that. When you subcontracted from, like, Donnie Cepeda, who probably, I don't know what he got.
About
but
five.
Well, you did whatever he said, or he beat you up on the school bus.
They're going to quit that.
Yeah. Something, I don't know, I'll have more on it tomorrow.
Okay, KS95.
In the never-ending effort to bring Americans exactly what they want, even before they themselves know what they want,
August 27th through Labor Day, like even the dates are new this year.
10 days from now, folks, KS95 is KSTP-FM, St. Paul, Minneapolis. It's the first choice at work because we play the best variety of the 70s, 80s, and today. See you in the morning. Good to be back. Goodbye.
The next stop on our trip up the Twin Cities FM dial is 95.3, where we find KNOF. This station is owned by Selby Gospel Broadcasting and has a religious programming format.
It's 8:05 now, sleet and 33 degrees in the Twin Cities. Stay with us for music now for the rest of this evening. Great music by the Hoppers, Here I Am. A Reed Before the Wind, music by the Lesters here at KNOF FM, 95.3 Full Gospel Radio. It's 8:30 now and 33 degrees with snow in the Twin Cities.
And that puts the wraps on this Market Scope. Thanks again, Skip, for all your help. And now, folks, here to add a little warmth to your cold February is that guy with an excess of hot air, John Bowker.
Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories from the rich and exciting past on the AM radio dial. Hello again, I'm John Bowker, and this month we'll continue painting the picture of early radio broadcasting when the rules were just being developed. And you have to keep in mind that the concept of formal radio programs, such as comedy or drama shows, simply hadn't occurred to anyone. In fact, WGY pioneered in these fields years later, but our story is still back in 1921. Remember now, all broadcasters were assigned to one channel at first, 833 kilohertz. And then the Department of Commerce opened up 618 kilohertz, but kept all the market report stations on one channel and all the stations with lectures and concert on the other channel. And to make it all worse, the control of frequency in those days was not exact, so the whistles and tones, they're called heterodynes by the technicians, they were a terrible bother. And stations had to share time if they were in the same city more often than not. And at first, as we've learned, there was a spirit of cooperation whenever a second station came on the air in a given area. New York is a good example. But New York was also the home, you see, of David Sarnoff, who had predicted the success of broadcasting years earlier. WJZ had stolen the march on Sarnoff with its Westinghouse heritage. That began earlier in 1921, but Sarnoff had convinced the board of directors of the Radio Corporation of America to go heavily into broadcasting, and his time had now come. The Department of Commerce granted a license to station WDY, Roselle Park, New Jersey, a suburb of New York. Just to keep things in perspective, our story today predates the building of WOR or WBAY in the New York City area, so WJZ was the only broadcaster in town. Now, if you look at a map, Roselle Park is just across the river from New York and only a very short distance from the WJZ transmitter operated by Westinghouse in Newark. But Sarnoff had sold his concept for a radio station by tying in the General Electric Company, one of the companies that had originally formed RCA. And GE offered their plant in Roselle Park as a site for the new station. Sure, the ambience was a factory, just like for WJZ and KDKA, but Sarnoff had arranged for a lovely foyer and studio complex within that old building. Of even greater importance, though, was the first employee of WDY hired by Sarnoff, a Major J. Andrew White. White was the publisher of Wireless Age magazine and was perhaps the best-informed person in the country about the programming and technology of this new field of broadcasting. In fact, it was White who did the play-by-play of the Dempsey-Carpentier fight we'd mentioned a couple of programs ago. And that was probably the single broadcast, the one Sarnoff had arranged, that did more to influence big money to come into broadcasting than any other broadcast before or since. Major White had developed a wide circle of theatrical and sporting friends during his stint as a magazine publisher, so his choice was a stroke of genius and good luck by Sarnoff. And so it came to December 14, 1921, the inaugural broadcast of WDY Roselle Park, New Jersey. 9:15 p.m. it started, a piano solo by the popular Louis Breen, and vocals by the leading singer of the day, Harry Howard. The program lasted an hour on WDY and received favorable comment by the New York press. But the interference from other stations was horrendous. And that continued all winter long. The public complained they couldn't hear Eddie Cantor's musical show clearly on the station, or the Friday night program called Radio Party, featuring the cream of New York talent. But WJZ wasn't just sitting back all this time, letting WDY skim off all the talent, and overall, during the next few months, WJZ won the audience race for New York City. Did this bother David Sarnoff? Why, no. He set out to solve the problem the old-fashioned way. He put WDY off the air February 24, 1922, and arranged for RCA to buy WJZ, and then proceeded apace in the new field of broadcasting. So once again, there was only one station in New York, and this time RCA owned it. But then the next wave of problems beset the broadcasting industry. How are we going to pay the bills? And we'll get into that in our next session with Historical Moments. But isn't it fun to know that it all comes out okay in the end? For Historical Moments in Broadcasting, this is John Bowker.
The DX Audio Service, in a classical effort to provide a quality publication to broadcasters and mankind, presents what one Don Corleone would term a offer that you cannot refuse.
Thinking of a good gift-giving idea? How about a gift subscription to the DX Audio Service? A gift subscription to the audio service costs only $25 to members in the U.S. In other areas, contact us for details. The DX Audio Service is 12 months of news and information on broadcast radio. And if a member brings in a new member to the DX Audio Service, they receive an extra month of the DX Audio Service. So not only do you give a gift, but you get a gift in return. Send your subscription gift to Gift Subscription, DX Audio Service, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio, 45802-5031. Be sure to tell us what the gift is for, and we'll pass along the gift with warm wishes from the best friend a person could have. You, the DX Audio Service member.
On the DX Time Machine from 50 years ago, Clarence Burnham of Gloucester, Massachusetts, bemoaned the deteriorating DX conditions, stating that no transatlantic stations, or TAs, had been heard since December 10th, and that the SAs were even poorer than last season. Grant Batson of Westfield, New York, received his verification from KFAR 660, a darn good catch. From the January 21, 1945 DX News Magazine, the January 14th DX program from WAGM 1450 with WWDC standing by was heard throughout the Northeast. Dr. John Kirk of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, reported interference from a 200-watt radio station in Tasmania, call sign 7DY. From 25 years ago, from the January 3rd DX News Magazine, 1970, Jade Murley of Newport Beach, California, explained how a person with 10 left thumbs could still construct a loop antenna to null the local stations out. The process included emptying a case of beer. Big George Kelly reported that the WRYT test was a smashing success. Also, the National Radio Club's first regular scheduled program on broadcast band DXing was aired on January 29th of 1970 over Radio Netherlands, including PJB. From 25 years ago also, on January 17th, Don Gilbert logged Gilbert and Elise Islands on a tip from Larry Godwin, noting that the station was as strong as KIKI 930, suggesting that they may have switched to their projected 10-kilowatt transmitter. From 10 years ago, Greg Hardison reported on the success of the December 15th Ray Bream DX special, of which Greg was the producer of the program. The Martin's Loop was being imported by Paul Swearingen and offered for sale for only $95. Try to find a decent loop for that price these days. And Jim Renfrew of Rochester, New York, logged country number 39 with Switzerland on 1566. And Tony Fitzherbert profiled WEEG 880. And that's a look at the DX Time Machine.
The DX Audio Service Musings from Members. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, the editors, or publishers. Members may muse by calling the Action Line 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Greg Jack from Olympia, Washington, and I just wanted to call and say that KLDY at 680 in Lacey is gone. It's been gone, I think, for maybe about a month. I just figured it out about a week ago. And so it's interesting that it at one point been KLDY and then gone through a call letter change and then now it's KLDY again, but it's not there. And apparently KZOK AM in Seattle is now KPOZ. I don't know what the format is, though, at this point, because they're kind of hard to get from here.
Hi, this is Bill Koppelman from Denver again, and I just want to let you know that apparently 1600 is now going by KYGO. And they are, when I was hearing them, they were simulcasting. However, as soon as I came home from the store, guess what? No more KYGOAM. That is the 16. So it gets a little bit confusing around here. KYGOAM, the older one, is still playing country. What it's going by, I'm not real sure at the moment, but stay tuned. Incidentally, for those of you who are into internet and would like to keep up with the world of radio digitally, a good way to do that is to subscribe at airwaves.com. In the subject of the message, just put none if you must put something in the subject area, and in the body of your message, just put the word subscribe. And you can send articles to airwaves.com at articles@airwaves.com and tell them what's going on in your area of the world. So, until next time, this is 73s from Bill Koppelman, N0JIO.
Hi, this is Marcy Scott reporting from Vero Beach, Florida. I'm on vacation, December 27th at approximately 7:45 in the evening. We have two One definite format change. The other, it sounds too good to be true, but could just be a Christmas week change. But number one, WIRA in Fort Pierce, 1400 on the dial, is now Sports Radio WIRA instead of being affiliated with one of the big band formats, satellite formats, Music of Your Life. The other format that has changed was, first of all, back in sometime last summer or last spring, the station that was there, Rhythm 86 in Cocoa Beach, became, I can't remember its old call letters now, but it became WRFB, Radio for Brevard. It was, for quite a while, Take 10 Radio with 10-minute intervals of local news and things. Now it is seemingly only easy listening. No commercials, no news, no chit-chat. Only every so often, WRFB, Cocoa Beach, Palm Bay, Titusville, and I can't remember if it's near Melbourne, but it's the new format change there.
This is Tim Handel in Miami. I'd like to know if anyone on the DX Audio Service heard the HCJB test on 690 just after midnight on December 24th. I tried real hard for it, even took the RF2200 outdoors to get away from any interference. All I could hear was a rather strong Cuban station, kind of a rasping, buzzing sound, and a few unidentified stations in the background, but I didn't hear a thing of HCJB, even their Morse code. I wonder if anyone else did.
This is Pat Cassidy calling from Newcastle, Delaware. Hope everyone, including all the listeners and the staff, had real nice holidays, and hope that 1995 is going well for everyone. Three comments, Fred. First of all, Marty Rimpaugh's report, I was really sorry to see the stations cut off going up the dial after 1200, I believe it was, and they only included 1540 and 1580. I'd like to see them back to complete that report, and I hope that in the future, when we do a band scan, that you will continue with one report until the whole band scan has been done, no matter how many issues it takes. Also, I noticed on the travelogue, John Valker does, 1230 and 1240 were forgotten. It seems like he went to 1250 and then 1200, of course, at the end of the tape. And number three, John Valker, this is for you. I believe I heard you say that you could not get KYW in Princeton, New Jersey at night. Well, I'm afraid you can. Maybe not quite as well as 1050 New York, but it can be heard. I used to have a friend that lived in Belford, New Jersey, which was near Asbury Park, and you could hear KYW there at night, but you couldn't hear it there in the daytime. But KYW does get around pretty well, even to the north and east of Philadelphia. I hope everyone has a nice new year, and take care.
This is Pat Boheimer of Decatur, Illinois, and as of today, KSD has gone from CNN headlines to music, unforgettable music. And I got a comment on another station, WMBQ 940 Wheeling, West Virginia. Do not give their letters and numbers at the top of the hour.
Hi, DXers. This is Doug Emerson from Painesville, Ohio. And even though you're hearing this in February, Happy New Year to everybody. We have a rather unique format change here in the Northeast Ohio area. At 1520, WJMP in Kent, which is near Akron, has dropped the American Sports Network in favor of duplicating the programming of Channel 29 in Akron. Now, I'm not talking about just hooking up with them for the 12 noon or 6 o'clock news. To my knowledge, they don't have that. What they do is, from the time they come on in the morning, which around here is about 8 o'clock, until 5:15, when they go off, they simply relay the programming of Channel 29 in Akron. I've never heard of any such thing before. Obviously, we know about stations carrying the news on radio from TV stations, but never just duplicating a TV station all day. That's really something. I wonder how long they're going to be doing that, and I wonder how they expect to pay the bills, because they themselves don't run any commercials. So I guess we'll be watching 1520 WJMP throughout 1995. Also,
In Youngstown at 1240, WBBW is rebroadcasting the programming of WHOT. I guess that company recently purchased that particular station here a couple of months back. So we'll see how long that lasts too, Dr. Starr.
Hi, Fred. This is Dan Perrin from Mount Clemens, Michigan. Hello, everybody on DX Audio Service. Sad note, I'd like to say that we're all going to miss Byron McGregor. He died this week. He used to work for CKLW AM, pardon me, Windsor, Detroit here. His wife, JoJo, used to do the traffic copter thing. The other night on 550, I picked up a station out of Kingston, Jamaica. I'm not sure what station that was. If anybody knows, they might be able to tell me. Tom Likens is also on WXYT here, and I guess WJJD has gone to talk radio.
Hi, this is Marcy Scott from Watertown, Massachusetts. It is now 10:40 p.m. on Sunday, January 22nd. I have just been listening, and I've heard that we have a new format, if not permanent right now, at least coming on 1510. It seems to be here in the Boston area. It seems to be contemporary gospel with in-between ads for video, for Christian videos, and credit kits and things like that. And they say your blessing, Boston's blessing, is coming soon. Keep your dial tuned to 1510 a.m. So just wanted to let anybody know that's interested, that's what the new format may be, seems to be coming to on 1510. And everybody have a good winter, and I love the magazine. Thanks. Bye.
Greetings, DX Audio Service readers. This is Tally Livingston Hughes in Los Angeles, actually in Winnetka, California. Those who continue their interest in our beloved radio band, AM radio band, might be sorry that they missed the Ray Bream Appreciation Day at Knott's Berry Farm Chicken Dinner Restaurant on Sunday, January 22nd. We had a fun time talking to each other and listening to Ray for much over an hour, describing his 50-year career in AM radio. Those of you in the Southern California area who would like to be in on future events, please contact Southern California area DXers, care of Bill Fisher, Sr., 6338 Pheasant Lane, Buena Park, California, 90620-1356. If you're interested in presenting some kind of program in connection with medium wave or any other radio topic, on behalf of the program committee, you can call me at area code 818-998-8244. Our meetings are on the third Saturday afternoon, if that makes a difference in what you are able to squeeze into your schedule. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
And that is our musings from Embers for this edition of the DX Audio Service. And we didn't forget the travelogue for 1230 and 1240. No, John has put that on After Dark number 5 because each one of those frequencies is about 45 minutes long, and it would take a long time to get through a normal travelogue on this edition of the DX Audio Service. In fact, we probably would not finish up 1240 until well into August. So that's why it's on After Dark number 5. And to Tim Handel, who wondered about the HCJB test, it doesn't seem like too many people were able to hear it. A few did, but over in California, HCJB was tried for between 015 and 045 on December 24th, 1994, with no success. XTRA dominated with CBU over and under. Also strong was KNBR 680 Slop, and that comes from one of our DXers out there in California. HCJB was also not heard in Alabama by one of the DXers, who said he heard strong CBF and also WTIX. And up there in Manitoba, where Sean Axelrod is the DXer, he says he couldn't hear HCJB
because of CBC French programming. So it looks like a few people did miss the test, but it looks like some did get the test. So hopefully we can ask HCJB to test next winter and maybe get better results.
The CPC report is brought to you by the many dedicated National Radio Club members assisting in courtesy program committee actions. To assist the CPC, the club needs stamps and suggestions of stations that you'd like to hear test. Send your stamps and suggestions to CPC Report, care of the DX Audio Service.
Time now to take a look at the CPC report, starting it off with KIYU on 910, Post Office Box 165, Galena, Alaska. That's G-A-L-E-N-A. Zip code 99741, and they'll conduct a DX test between 0500 and 0530 Eastern Standard Time on Monday, February the 6th. The test will include voice IDs, Morse code IDs, and easily identifiable music. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Robert C. Summer, S-O-M-M-E-R, General Manager of KIYU. Test was arranged by J.D. Steffens. Also testing will be WWOL on a frequency of 780 on February the 11th, 1995. They'll test between 0200 and 0400 Eastern Standard Time. KNZZ on 1100 will be testing on February the 12th, 1995 at 0300 to 0330. KGYN 1210 will be testing on February the 13th, 1995 from 0200 to 0230. WREN 1250 in Topeka, Kansas will be testing on February the 14th, 1995 from 0100 to 0200. And finally, KERR 750 will be testing on February the 20th, 1995 from 0200 to 0230 Eastern Standard Time. That's our CPC tests for this month. Just before we wrap it up here on the DX Audio Service, I'd like to run through some of the items which are on After Dark number 5, which is available from the Publication Center. First of all, we have a receiver review, courtesy of Media Network, on the Yacht Boy 400, which was very well done by Jonathan Marks. Ken Chatterton reads an article from Monitoring Times called Wireless As It Was. We also have some samples of how a CWID gets through QRM, which Cheryl Henson put together. Tom Jackson gives us a little history on WLBK 1360. John Bowker has a lesson in ground wave versus sky wave. Also, we get to hear an interview of Pat Cassidy of his weather forecasting, which was done on WKEN Radio. I'll be reading an article that Ken Chatterton wrote about DXing during the solar eclipse back on May 10th of 1994. Also, a profile on WOPA 1200 in Chicago. Mark Marino gives us a little tour of the shadow traffic and metro traffic in Chicago. Jim Snowbarger tells us about his first microphone and how he got into the radio hobby. And we also have that interview with John Vodnik of the Voice of America talking about the close down of the Bethany Relay Station, which is very interesting. Phil Wayne comes in with some of the favorite air checks of the fall, including WFWI doing the old Drake format, and also some other radio stations which are very well done. John Bowker gives us the travelogue for 1230 and 1240. I found some old tapes from my history, including an interview that I did with a writer of jingles, Pete Peterson, who worked at Pepper and Tanner down in Memphis, Tennessee. I talked to him back in, I think it was 1974 or so. Found this little reel. I thought I'd put it on just so you could hear what I sounded like and also hear a little bit about how jingles are put together. Also, a air check of WHND 560 back in their heyday when they were the one of the number one oldie stations in the Detroit market. As you know, now they're Spanish. Victor Schmidt gives us a obit on CJSB in its last days on the air. And on tape number 8, we have some air checks, which are classics. One of Shotgun Tom Kelly from KHJ, back when the big boss was the big one. And also some other air checks, including one of yours truly, back when I was working in Archbold, Ohio. We also have a round table of editors talking with Ann Nashif of WCIT Radio about the DX Audio Service. And we have an interesting interview, which goes just about an hour and a half plus between Bruce Conti and Mark Connolly about transit Atlantic and South America DX. These two guys do a lot of long-range DXing, and you'll get a lot of information and a lot of tips on things that you can do to improve your chances of hearing stations. That's After Dark number 5. That's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Just remember,
get out and support radio.
The DX Audio Service. Quality listening with no Skyway fade.